Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and I really appreciate you coming back for another episode. Well, what do we got in store for you today? Well, here it is. The question is, what is God? Or where is God? Believe it or not, this is the question that every single person asks at some point in their life. What is God? Where is God? You know you have asked that question. And the way that you answer that question has every single thing to do with your belief system today. Did you know that? We're going to talk about that today, and let's just get started. The fact is, the word God is become, I don't know, a very nebulous term in our culture. For example, if I say the word dog, one person will think of a poodle. So if I say the word dog, one person's going to think of a poodle. Another person might summon the image of a German Shepherd. You might think of one of those little toy dogs you fit in your purse or something else. But whatever our unique experience with or relationship to a particular type of dog, that experience will dramatically influence our grasp of the term dog. You see, when you think dog, you think your dog. You know, yet despite all the diversity of the breeds of dogs, if we discuss the dog experience as a whole, we find common ground between us. And this is insightful because it helps us to understand something. We're in a world right now where people are talking about God, and they mean totally different things. ISIS kills people and cuts their heads off for God. The Crusades are when Christians cut people's heads off for God. The book of Joshua is all about killing people for God. Every religion has this going on. This is not something unique. So it's the God experience that we want to focus in. See, God is not a feeling, but God can be felt deeply and intensely. Ask anyone who knows this. God is not knowledge, but God can be known on one level and yet completely unknowable on another level. The New Testament and the Hebrew Scriptures have several hundred names for God. The Quran has over 90. Hinduism has several hundred names for God as well. And so, not unlike the breeds of dogs, the names of God bring to the forefront unique attributes or aspects of God. One aspect of God is known by science as energy. Now, some call it the universe or something else. You see, we can't be so specific when we start talking about God. This is known as exclusivity, and there's a whole host of problems that come with it. And I know why we get there. Trust me, I understand Christians and their exclusivity. In fact, every religion has its own exclusivity. That's the problem. We have to kind of get beyond this. If we were to go ahead and list off the names of God along with the attributes of those names, for example, in the Hebrew scripture, Elohim means strength and power, or Jireh means provider, the one who sees, we would essentially be stitching together a theology. A theology is a theological construct, which really is a framework by which a person tries to understand God. Some theologies are really complex and integrated, requiring years of seminary training in order to unpack. Some theologies are very simple and organic. It is important to know that every person who has ever lived has a theology of some sort. That means you, that means me. That means our mom and dad and everybody we know at the family reunion. But think about it. Countless divisions exist because people disagree about theology. And this says way more about us than it does about God. I mean, consider my town has 60,000 people in it, but there's 140 different denominations of Christian churches in this one town. 140, because we all disagree about theology. Now, the key is that a theology is not God, but you'd be hard-pressed to know by the way some people defend it. They act as if they know it as if it were God, but it's not. It's humanity's conceptual framework to try and understand the God experience. I believe it was Ray Anderson who said, "The acts of God are the hermeneutical horizon for the being of God." In other words, until you experience God's kindness or mercy or love or whatever it is, you don't really know if God is kind or merciful or loving or whatever it is. You could read about it and you can intellectualize it, that's certain. You could even feel warm and cozy about the sentiments of kindness. But without the experience, you don't really grasp God's kindness. This is the same for all the attributes of God. Thus, we can see why there are so many theologies, because there are so many experiences of God. Now, what this really means is that religions are essentially campaign managers for a particular God experience. And whenever a person has a God experience, they usually make sacred the means to that experience. You ever thought about that? If you had the experience of God during a worship service, then worship becomes sacred. If you had that God experience during the reading of sacred text, then study becomes sacred to you. If you had the God experience during poverty or pain or suffering or childbirth, then those moments become sacred. Maybe in the foxhole of a war, and war became sacred. There are the experience during meditation, and meditation became sacred. You see this? Of course, the more people who have the same experience and the same means will all gather together to participate in those practices. This is how alignments form and how people get into little groups and denominations and believe they're the ones who are right and everybody else is wrong. Now, this can be good so long as we know the difference between the means to the experience and the actual experience. But sadly, if you show up on Sunday or Saturday or Friday, depending on your tradition, most religious services are all about the means, and there is little, if any, experience. Not all. Some, you're going to have it, but some, I'm sorry to say, it's missing. Now, since we're talking about God, religion, and experience, let me say a word about atheism. It is not uncommon in our culture to see competitive religions. And I say that purposely because religions and denominations diminish the gods of other religions and the theologies of other religions and traditions. You would never see a Christian pastor begin a sermon on mercy by saying, "Allah, the most merciful, the especially merciful." Yet that is how nearly every chapter in the Quran begins. Now, the mosque or the synagogue, they're not going to be kneeling down to a crucified Jesus and talking about the hope of the gospel. This is because each one holds their experience of God above another. We do this all the time. We play favorites. This is another way of saying that if they believe Jesus is God, then they don't believe that Allah is God. They are atheistic toward Allah. The Muslim and the Jew are atheistic toward Jesus in that they do not see him as God, but only a prophet. This gives us insight into what atheism really is. You see, the person who goes around and says they're an atheist, like Penn Jillette or Bill Maher, you know, they're simply a person who goes one God concept further than everyone else. The Christian who won't believe in any other God but Jesus has one more God concept than Bill Maher. You see, they are atheistic towards Jesus and Allah and Yahweh and Buddha and any other experience. Yet strangely, they believe deeply in randomness, in time, and physics, and chance. Thus, we are all atheistic in certain aspects of God or God concepts. There's certain things we don't believe in or won't believe in. Even the most devout person does not believe everything the Bible says. They want to say they do, but you could open the pages and say, do you actually believe that is true? And they'll say no. There's certain aspects that they don't want to believe are true, or they can't believe are true. This makes all people partial believers, as well as partial atheists. Now, this has a profound impact because it levels the playing field. You know, this is a strange landscape that we live in when we think that all these people have different religions and different gods and different theologies. Well, we do, because we all have a theology and each one is slightly different because we each have a unique experience. But it should actually level the playing field. But we perceive this as unequal playing field, don't we? We create way more distinction so that we can have power over others. Now, the common solution here is to relegate the God conversation to the sphere of personal preference. It doesn't really work that way, though. It's not as simple as saying you like green and I like blue, you like Buddha, I like Jesus. The atheist is not off the hook here either, because while they may not subscribe to a particular God campaign, they most certainly have a God experience, although they will call it something different. I mean, they hug their kids and love their wives and their husbands just as anybody else. They don't treat them like a random star fart, like they would the grain of the sand that's sticking in the bottom of their shoe. They don't look at their child and just say, "This, look at all this random time and chance and how it's produced this." No, there's something beautiful and precious about their children. And so you see that they have a faith commitment. It's just an alternate faith commitment. Exodus 3:14 is a story which all religions subscribe, and it tells the story of God telling Moses that his or her name is I Am That I Am. In other words, God is the ground of being. Let's talk about being for a second. Being is not knowing, but it contains knowledge. Being is not feeling, but it contains emotion. Being is not a theology, but it contains ideas. Being is not a sacred text, but it shows up in them. Being is not the past. It's not the future, but it is an experience with the present. You see, when we ask, who is God, we are essentially asking, where is God? This is the human cry for experience. It's a cry for help. It's a cry for contact in this present moment. For example, we hear that God is good. Then we ask, well, where is God in all the suffering today? We hear God is merciful. And then we ask, where is God in all the oppression that we feel? We hear God is love. And then we have to ask, where is God in this world? We're like the Black Eyed Peas singing, where is the love? These are real questions. These are forming a God concept, a theology, if you will. If the God experience does not show up for us, the concept will be unbelief or confusion. It's simple as that. If the God experience appears, the concept will follow in order to try and make sense of the experience. It's as simple as that. So the underlying question in our world is not really the concept of God, like as in what is God, but how can we experience God? See, there was a time in my life when I would answer this question by giving you all kinds of things to do, but I won't do that anymore. You see, most religions approach it by giving you concepts until you believe, and they invalidate any experience but their own experiences that they control. So you have to be careful in your search here. I'd hate for anyone to search for God and end up with a religion. That's the worst possible exchange. The best I can offer now is to start with being. And if you don't yet know God's being, then start with yours. Be open to receive and be ready to do some soul work and to go deeper. Be honest for a change about all the crud that you find within yourself. Stop rejecting and deflecting everything. Celebrate the wonder that is inside you as well. Find a way to live authentically and fully present within this moment, and ask if there is a God that he or she will be revealed to you. This will be the beginning of the experience. You'll begin to see the thing beyond everything. Once you have the experience, then you can learn about the various means to go deeper. And that is where religious systems can actually offer us some help. You see, the richness of traditions and the communities that these provide, the teachings, they will greatly supplement and empower the experience. But they are not the experience. So long as you never confuse the two, you will be okay whether you're a part of a system or not. If you make the mistake and confuse the experience with the means to the experience, you will either be a part of a system for the wrong reasons, or you'll be out of a system but angry and proud and alone. Each name for God is a different experience of God. Find a name that resonates with your experience, and then be open to the other names. By learning the experience first, the concept of God will become more clear. This is how we can move beyond conversion, and beyond competition, and into completion. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.